Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Numbers 22 on Through the Word. And if you like stories, this is one of the greats. It is the story of Balaam, one of the Bible's most mysterious and confounding characters. The story begins with the Israelites on the plains of Moab. Now the Moabites were descendants of Lot. Moab was not in the Promised Land, and God would later tell the Israelites not to attack Moab. Moabites didn't know that. They were afraid. Verse 3 says that they were filled with dread because of Israel. The Moabites' king is Balak, and Balak had a plan. In verse 5, King Balak sent messengers to summon Balaam. Balak said, "A people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people, because they are too powerful for me. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed." So apparently, Balaam had a reputation as the real deal. When he blessed or cursed, it worked, or so people said. Well, the messengers showed up, and with money. Verse 7 calls it the fee for divination. This will prove to be important. Then in verse 8, "Spend the night here," Balaam said to them, "and I will report back to you with the answer the Lord gives me." So the Moabite officials stayed with him. God came to Balaam and asked, "Who are these men with you?" Wow. God, the true and the living God, talked to Balaam. And it clearly wasn't the first time. Balaam is a genuine prophet of God. So who was Balaam? We don't know. My theory is God sent him as a prophet among the Canaanites. After all, God gave them 400 years to repent. And perhaps Balaam was sent to warn them, give them a chance. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. So Balaam tells God the story. And in verse 12, "But God said to Balaam, 'Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people, because they are blessed.'" Okay, pay attention here. God says, "Don't go, don't curse them, they are blessed." This is God's will. Don't go. To go is to fight God's will. To curse them is to fight God's blessing. God has drawn the line clearly. And Balaam listens. The next day, he tells the men to go home. The Lord said no. From his words, you would think that Balaam was all about obeying God. Story's not over. Balak sends more princes, bigwigs this time. The pressure is on. This time, they're begging. Verse 17, "Because I will reward you handsomely and do whatever you say. Come and put a curse on these people for me." But Balaam answered them, "Even if Balak gave me all the silver and gold in his palace, I could not do anything, great or small, to go beyond the command of the Lord my God." So Balaam looks pretty good, right? "I can't do anything beyond the command of the Lord my God." Don't miss that. He calls the Lord his God. He's a believer. He swears his allegiance. But another God has entered the room. Small g God. A handsome reward has been offered. A golden ticket. Silver and gold are calling his name, and Balaam's ears are perked. In verse 19, Balaam tells the men, "Now spend the night here so that I can find out what else the Lord will tell me." Danger, Will Robinson. Intruder alert. System compromised. What else the Lord will tell him? Balaam knows what God told him. Don't go. What else could God say? Now watch this one. When you know God's direction, but it's not what you wanted to hear, and you start asking for what else God might tell you. Those are itching ears, and they're itching for trouble. So in verse 20, "That night God came to Balaam and said, 'Since these men have come to summon you, go with them, but do only what I tell you.'" Now God says go. Did God change his mind? I don't know. But I do know that God does not force us to follow his will. If we press against his will long enough, he may give in. Like the loving dad who allows the prodigal son to go, God respects our free will. 2 Peter warns us against the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of wickedness. The way of Balaam is the way that wanders from God's path. Balaam served God, but he loved the paycheck. and his path was just beginning to veer off course. But Balaam had one true friend, a friend who was willing to get in his way. Verse 21, Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Stop there a moment. The angel of the Lord is generally believed to be God in human form. I believe this is Jesus. Balaam doesn't see him, but in verse 23, the donkey does, and the angel is standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. So the donkey turns. Balaam beats the donkey to go back. The angel stands again, this time in a narrow path with walls. So the donkey presses against the wall to go around, crushing Balaam's foot. Balaam beats the donkey again. The donkey just saved his life. The angel stands once more, this time where there is no way around, and the donkey lays down. Balaam beats the donkey again. Then in verse 28, then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Okay, pause the story. Do I really believe that God made a donkey speak? Yes, I believe it. Now the atheist will mock me, but that's okay, because as the atheist speaks, and his voice box vibrates the air into perfect waves of air pressure differentials, shaped by the interactive motion of tongue, teeth, and lips, that then cross the room to two small bones inside each of my ears, which vibrate in perfect sync and translate the physical vibration into an electrical signal sent to a computer that instantly interprets sound, voice, language, and meaning. And I understand that the atheist believes that the entire system was the result of coincidence, and that he calls me a fool because I believe that God made a donkey speak. It's all right. I'm not insulted. Now unpause. Back in the story, it's the donkey who is calling Balaam the fool, and he is. In verse 30, the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" What will it take to stop you or me from charging down the path against God's will, the way of Balaam? Sometimes God gives you a donkey, a faithful friend who has always been with you, every road, every turn, just been there. When that friend tells you to stop, man, you better listen to your donkey. Your donkey might be a parent or a brother or a friend, could even be someone you've been leading. If they've been faithful and they block your path, it's time to listen. Balaam's ears were too busy itching after money to listen to a faithful friend. But then the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw the angel and the sword. The angel spoke, "I have come here to oppose you, because your path is a reckless one before me. Balaam, you're reckless. If it weren't for your donkey, I would have killed you." Balaam is humbled, but the angel of the Lord tells him to go on, and to speak only what I tell you. Balaam meets up with Balak, and together they climb up a mountainside to get a view of the Israelites. What will Balaam do? Tune in next time for chapter 23.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.